Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the last Sunday before Christmas. Our show is entitled Enriching People's Lives, and we hope that this show does enrich your life today and every Sunday. So thanks for tuning in. I'm Steve Sampington, and wow, where did the year go? It's hard to believe that we've got less than 2 weeks left in the year of 2009, and goodness, it's hard to believe that it's been 10 years since Y2K, huh? But thanks for tuning in. We're glad to be with you here this morning. We're going to share with you some scripture. I thought that, I would just read some scripture. I didn't want to just read Luke 2, although that's a great passage to read. But I want to share with you some other scriptures that that I read frequently, some scriptures that have blessed my life, and I hope these will bless you also. We hope you have a Merry Christmas. We hope that the Lord truly blesses you this year, this coming year. I hope that 2010 is your best year yet. Not your best year ever, but your best year yet. And we hope that you receive God's very best in every area of your lives. We want to remind you that the first person that calls in this week will get a free copy of our book. You can either call us at 751-0565, or you can email us at sappingtoncommunications@gmail.com. And if you can't remember the email address, just go to our website, todayswordonmoney.com, todayswordonmoney.com, and then you can click on the contact tab, and that will take you to a way that you can either call us or email us. You can click on either one of those. You can click, and it will call us, and or you can just click on the link, and it will take you to an email. So let's start out with one of my favorite verses. It's 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. You know, if you think about it, that's really God's multiplication system. We learn from someone, we teach someone, and we teach them to teach someone. And so that's, again, that's kind of like the Paul and Barnabas Ananias, the man who laid hands on Paul when he recovered, and then of course Paul and Timothy. So you've got someone who mentored Paul, you've got someone who encouraged Paul next to him, and then you've got also the someone that Paul encouraged and mentored himself. Here's a great verse that I love to share with people. It's Philemon is just out of one chapter, so we don't have to name the chapter. It's just Philemon verse 6. That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You know, so often we forget to count our blessings. We don't, it's easy just to see the bad in things. But if we'll focus on what's good, then again, our witnessing will become effective. Sharing of our faith will become effective if we will begin to acknowledge all the good things that Jesus has done for us. Especially this time of year, it's easy to start doing. Just become thankful. Start thinking that of the things that you had to be thankful for. Goodness, when you compare the blessings that we have in this country compared to so many other places in the world, we have been so blessed. So I encourage you to be thankful, not just this this time of year, but throughout the year. Philippians verse 4, chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, Whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You probably heard me say before that there are a lot of studies out that that show there's a strong connection between how people think, and their emotions in terms of are they forgiving, are they loving, are they bitter, are they unforgiving? And there's a strong correlation between bitterness and unforgiveness and all types of diseases. So let's meditate on those things that are good. It's good for you and it's good for your health. And really, when you're bitter at someone, it really doesn't hurt them. You probably heard me say also, I heard my pastor, Jimmy Seibert, say this, I think it was within the past year, he was saying, if you are mad at someone and you won't forgive them, he said, that's like if you take you swallow some poison and then you wait for the person that you're mad at to get sick. So it doesn't work. So unforgiveness is the same thing. Works the same way. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Of course, we know that the word Christ is not Jesus' last name, but it's that's the anointed one. And many times that word can also mean, the anointing, his anointing that strengthens me. So I can do all things through the anointed one and through his anointing that strengthens me. And just a few verses down there, Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And what a powerful verse that is. It's not just some of your needs, all your need. And here's one of my favorite passages in the Bible, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Verses 16 to 23, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he first worked in Christ, the Anointed One, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. He put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Well, a couple of things to jump out there to me in that passage. If Jesus is above every name, that means he's above sickness, he's above unforgiveness, he's above debt, so he's above cancer. So, we need to use that name. There's so much power in the name of Jesus, and we take that for granted. And it's like we've got this all this power, and we don't even use it sometimes. So we need to take advantage of those privileges that God has given us. And then the Bible says that we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. So if we're in Christ and God put all things under Jesus' feet, then all things are under our feet too. Even if we're the bottom of the foot of the body of Christ, then again, we have authority over anything that the enemy tries to throw at us. I love Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast or anyone should boast. And Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That means before even time began, God had certain works, good works for us to accomplish. He planned them out. And so we're walking in those now. So we need to ask him, Lord, what are the good works you have planned for me to do? How can I lift you up so that you draw people into your kingdom? Ephesians 3, that's another part. Again, Ephesians is one of my favorite books in the Bible. This says, again, Ephesians 3, 14 through 20. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, that you may know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church through Christ Jesus forever and ever. Wow, that's a great passage. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. You know, we should be walking through places and just be a refreshment to those around us. And people should be able to sense the presence of Christ because he's living in us wherever we go. Colossians 1, 9 to 11. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might or all resources according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Oh, but don't you just get fired up when you start reading the Word of God? Oh, here's a verse that's really kind of become the theme verse for our business and our ministry. It's the Message translation. None of the other translations has anything like this. But I love how it puts this. This is Matthew 13:52. Jesus said, "Then you see how every student well trained in God's kingdom is like the owner of a general store who can put his hands on anything you need, old or new, exactly when you need it." And you know, it's not that we have bought everything, although we are to be diligent and be good students. But, you know, if we'll trust the Lord, he will speak through us. He'll work through us. He'll minister through us. So that we can be a blessing. You know, I just saw a DVD a couple of mornings ago. You need to Google this. It's Reclaiming the Seven Mountains. Bill Bright and the head of Campus Crusade for Christ, and then the head of Youth with a Mission. They both, I think it's been over 30 years ago, they both, within 48 hours of each other, they received this vision about how we can become more effective in seven areas of life, you know, such as entertainment, politics or government, education, business, and there's seven of these areas, and they're called Seven Mountains. And Lance Wallnau was speaking on these, and he talked about how we can we shouldn't just expect a miracle from God. We're supposed to develop our skills, and then God will take over from there. We're to be well prepared. Also heard, in conjunction with this, in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah was ready with an answer for the king. He risked his life when he acted sad in front of the king. But then he had an answer. The king asked him, "How long will you be gone?" And Nehemiah told him. And so, we need to do our very best with the skills and the talents and abilities God's given us. But then we know that those are not sufficient, that they are required. Too often in the past, I've just ignored my skills and abilities and been lazy and just wanted God to do a miracle. Well, that's not usually how He works. He wants us to prepare also. But then we reach a point where we realize that in our own power, we don't have enough to do the job. If we do have enough, then we probably are not doing just what God's called us, because He calls us to do things that are above and beyond our ability, where we have to have His help before we can accomplish it. So be thinking about that. But I want to remind you, for those of you who may be just now tuning in, this is Enriching People's Lives. I'm Steve Sappington. We've written a book, and we have a business here in the Waco area. We love to be a blessing. The Lord has been so good to us. And so one of the things that we do here is the first person who calls or emails us this week will receive a little Christmas present from us. We're going to give you a copy of our book. The book, name of the book is Today's Word on Money. And it's a 40-day journey that takes you through examining many of the spiritual components of today's financial problems. We're confronted with so many problems here, whether it's debt and recession and retirement issues and should we pay off all debts, all those types of things. And I address those topics in the book from a spiritual standpoint. So I think the book will be a blessing to you. If you'd like to read some samples from the book, you can go to todayswordonmoney.com. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. You can read some of the endorsements from people who have read the book. You can read our newsletters. You can click on a link there, and it will take you to our previous newsletters. We send out a monthly newsletter. You can sign up for the new newsletter if you'd like to receive it. We are archiving all of these shows, the radio broadcast, so that you can listen to them if you'd like to do that. So check them out. We think you'll like that. And, of course, you can order the book there also. The book is in PDF form. I would ask you, I have a prayer request. We're wanting to find the right author or right publisher, and I want to the Lord's direction in that, so that we publish with someone who can help us with the marketing of the book, so that the book can get into the hands of as many people as possible. So far, the book is just in electronic form. We would ask your prayers. And if any of you know someone that I should contact, that should talk with about publishing, that I would appreciate that. Our number again is 751-0565. Or you can email us at sappingtoncommunications@gmail.com. Here's another verse. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So we are, again, at this time of year especially, but really throughout the year, people should see a difference in us. And we should have solutions in business because we spend time with God, so that we can draw people to us, to Jesus, that are otherwise wouldn't be, because we are different. We have solutions. St. Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And one translation says of self-discipline. Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself also in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. I don't know if any of you have heard the difference between the definitions of the word shall and the word will, but an attorney told me once that there's a big difference. Will is, it can happen, but shall is it has to happen. So you'll see a lot of times in legal contracts, you'll see the word shall. One time, my attorney friend told me this story that he went to a store and he was talking to the owner of the store, and the owner said, "You know, I had this fella come in the other day, and he signed a contract with me, and he went through the contract and scratched out the same word every time and replaced it with another word." And my attorney friend says, "I bet I can guess what that word was." And the business owner says, "What was that?" And the attorney said, "Did he replace will with shall?" And the business owner said, "Yeah, that was it." And then the attorney talked to him about the difference between the two words. That shall is just, you know, there's no room for reneging with the word shall. And the business owner said, "Wow, I guess that guy wasn't as stupid as I thought he was." So, it's interesting if you go through the Bible and look at all the places that the word shall occurs. So here we are, that he shall give us the desires of our heart. This is a passage from Psalm 119, which is the longest chapter in the Bible. I love these verses. "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies, for your words are ever with me. I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." That's Psalm 119, verses 97 through 105. Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." By that it means his way of doing and being right, God's way of doing and being right. So if we'll seek that first, then all the other things will be added to us. Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men pour or give into your bosom or your lap. But with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you." There's a verse that we meditated on for several weeks in a series of sermons at our church. Psalm 16:11, "You will show me," you being God, "you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Psalm 35:27, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yes, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." I love Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. This is something I say just about every morning. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." Of course, bless means to empower, to prosper. So we, and soul means our minds, our will, and our emotions. So everything that is within us should empower God and his name to prosper. And how does God measure prosperity? Well, by the number of souls. So we should be soul winners. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." I was just thinking yesterday about some different times in my life that God has redeemed my life from destruction. You know, I'm sure there are a lot of times that I don't even realize. But there are times that I was very rebellious, and the Lord redeemed me out of that. I was just thinking this morning as I was waking up, a song came to my head about a GTO, a very fast car when I was growing up, Pontiac GTO, and had a friend that we were in high school, and he had asked his parents for a GTO, and his dad refused, but he gave him the next best thing. It was a very fast car. It was a Pontiac. I think it was Le Mans. Anyway, one day his name was Ray, and he was going to take me home from school. And he said, "Get ready for the fastest ride of your life." And then he went through stoplights and everything, and it's the grace of God. God redeeming my life from destruction that we didn't have a wreck. I'm thankful for all the times that God has rescued me. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I'm attempting to learn Spanish, and I've learned the Spanish translation of that. Jesús le dijo, "Yo soy el camino y la verdad y la vida. Nadie viene al Padre sino por mí." And that's so true. He is the way, the truth, and the life. James 1:5-6, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally," or generously, "and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." Here's a verse that was one of Paul Meyer's favorite scriptures, Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Jeremiah 33:3, "Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Here's one that we need to meditate on more. 1 John 2:20, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things." That means God can show us anything we need to know to accomplish His will. I've been reading the Bible through for several years. I was reading in Habakkuk just the other day, and I realized in Habakkuk chapter 2 there are several well-known scriptures in that one chapter. I'm going to read these to you from the contemporary English version. Habakkuk 2 verse 1 says, "While standing guard on the watchtower, I waited for the Lord's answer before explaining the reason for my complaint. Then the Lord told me, 'I will give you my message in the form of a vision. Write it clearly enough to be read at a glance.'" Verse 3, "At the time I've decided, my words will come true. You can trust what I say about the future. It may take a long time, but keep on waiting. It will happen. I, the Lord, refuse to accept anyone who is proud. Only those who live by faith are acceptable to me." That's verse 4. There's so many, several, probably 5 or 6 different verses. Verse 14, "Just as water fills the sea, the land will be filled with people who know and honor the Lord." That's a well-known verse too. And then the last verse in that chapter, "Let all the world be silent. The Lord is present in His holy temple." So, I think that's probably about all the time we have for today, but I've enjoyed, again, I've refreshed myself. I hope these scriptures have refreshed you, and well, thank you again for tuning in to Enriching People's Lives. Again, I'm Steve Sappington. Give us a call at 751-0565 or send us an email at sappingtoncommunications@gmail.com, or go to our website, todayswordonmoney.com. The first person to contact us, again, will get a free copy of our book. Thanks again. We hope you have a great week, a Merry Christmas, and it's a prosperous new year. Blessings to you. Thanks again for tuning in to Enriching People's Lives.